Well, good evening, everybody. It's good to see so many people here, considering it's such nice weather outside, and I hope you've been enjoying it today. And you join us this evening on our second part of our new three-part series called Infectious. And this evening, we're talking about experience. A little bit of feedback there. And we wanted to just review what happened last week, especially if you weren't there last week, where we talked about why. Why should Christians be so infectious? What makes us infectious? Why should we be like that? And we found there was about four or five different points that we sort of brought out. And the first one was, it's not about me. It's not about me, it's not about you. There's nothing that you can do to force someone to become a Christian. Doesn't work like that. There's nothing that you can do any harder that makes someone a Christian. It's not about you at all. And it's like we use the illustration of having a cold. When you get a cold, it's not because, well, if I get a cold, it's not because I'm amazing or I'm very handsome or very intelligent or all those things are true about me. It is because I've just caught it from someone else because it's infectious. And if you sit around me at work, you're probably going to get it as well. And so that's almost what it's like. I've got it. It's nothing to do with me. I've been given it kindly by someone else, and I'm going to probably pass it on to someone else. I have no real choice in that. And then secondly, we saw that people need Jesus. There's this hole in everyone's lives which fits God perfectly. And we saw that Jesus sees people as sheepses without a shepherd. As sheepses without a shepherd. That's plural, by the way, of sheep, sheepses. And we see that he sees us as a bit lost. He sees us as needing that guidance. And he wants to be there to be able to do that. And then on the flip side of that, we saw that Jesus needs people. That seems really strange, doesn't it? Jesus needs people. But why does Jesus need people in the first place? Well, it's because it says this. It says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And those who call themselves Christians here, you are the workers for this harvest. There's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of harvesting to be done. Lots of little bits being done by lots of people. Not one person is going to reap the whole harvest. That's why he needs us to do that work. And that brought us round to our big idea of this. Being infectious means catching the love of Jesus, then putting yourself into his hands to spread it to others. It's about showing that infectious love that you've caught from Jesus, that passion, that amazement that you have in that relationship, and passing a little bit of that on to someone else. That's what it's about, being infectious. But how do we do that? How do we do that? It's all very well in saying this is what we should do, but how do we go about doing that? And actually, it's a lot simpler than you think. It's a lot simpler. All you do is tell your story. And straight away, you've probably got the brakes on going, whoa, whoa, just tell my story. Are you mad? Last time I did that, I got knocked back so hard, I'm never telling it again. Or maybe you just think your story isn't worth telling at all. Maybe you sometimes feel like you're in that boat like I grew up in a Christian family. You know, I don't have a drug addict to preacher story change. My story isn't interesting. Who's going to listen to that? Or maybe you're here and you're not a Christian at all, but you're here supporting a boyfriend or a girlfriend or just coming on for the first time. And you don't think you have a story to tell at all. But actually, everyone here, everyone, no matter where you're on your journey, no matter what your background, you have an amazing story to tell. An amazing story that other people will want to hear. Over the last summer, I can remember I read an amazing story. And we live in this culture where we love a story, don't we? We love good stories. And this happened to me over the summer. I became addicted to this one story. I could not put it down. Anyone else experiencing that? You get in a book, I cannot put it down. You're up at like 1 a.m. reading, you know you've got to get up for work. Just reading, reading, reading. It changed my life. It was phenomenal. I loved this book totally. Fantastic. And that book was American Sniper. I love that book. Jenny, it's awesome. Chris Carr, The US Military's Most Dangerous Sniper Ever. I loved that book. And then I went and saw it in the cinema. That was incredible. Because I've never been to the cinema where when the end credit rolls, no one moves. No one even said a word. No one started to rustle about for their keys to beat everyone out of the cinema. No one felt like they could move. Because the story had been told so, so well. We live in a culture where people love stories, especially stories where it's personal to you. People love that. And the Bible is full of stories of people telling stories of their own lives, of Jesus's life and what he did. And we're going to use one of those stories this evening, which is Jesus meets the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. And just a bit of background to it, Jesus has been walking now. It's now noon, so he's walking maybe about 6 hours. Heat of the day, he's getting pretty hot, and he needs a drink. And he's walking through Samaria, and he comes to a well. And at this well, he's left by his disciples. They go off to find some food, find some lunch, and up walks this woman to draw water from the well. And that is where we join the story. It says, "When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone in town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You're a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.'" Now, straight away, this is an unusual conversation to be happening. These two people groups didn't associate with each other. This is like chalk and cheese and positive and negative on a magnet. They just don't really associate with each other. And especially to have a guy on his own from one side and a woman on his own, her own, chatting with each other, it just doesn't happen. So already, this is a bit of an odd conversation. Now, through the conversation, they talk about a few things. They talk about a bit of worship and some other bits and pieces. And they're probably talking for about 20 minutes. We don't really know, but maybe about that sort of length. Eventually, Jesus drops a little golden nugget into the conversation. He says, "Go get your husband. Bring him back here." And she paused briefly and goes, I don't have a husband. He says, "You're right. You don't. You have 5 husbands, and the one you're living with now isn't your husband." Ooh, how did he know that? She must be thinking, how did he know that? And instantly, her life is changed. From this one little nugget of Jesus talking intimately with this woman, her life is changed. And we see what this change does. It goes on to say, "Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, 'What do you want?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah?' They came out of the town and made their way towards him." From this brief little conversation with Jesus, she walks back and is so changed, she invites the whole town to come and see this guy. "You've got to come see this guy. He told me this about me. You've got to come see him." And she shares her tiny little story. It reminds me of a time when I was in first year at Brighton University. I was on the athletics team and I met a guy called Hunter. And he was joining the athletics team as well. Hunter was his real name. I didn't take him seriously for a little bit, but that was his real name. And we got on really, really well. I had a car, so I had to drive us everywhere. So we'd be driving to different tracks to go train. We went climbing together, went clubbing together, went to bars together. Got on really, really well. And through all this time spent to each other, we would chat. He wasn't a Christian, but we would chat and just chat openly, chat really amicably with each other. And share our different viewpoints. And after a lot of talking with each other, eventually he came to church. And a long way down the road, he eventually became a Christian. And I don't ever remember feeling really scared about chatting with Hunter. I know I've been a little bit worried with chatting with other people before, but with Hunter it felt different. And it must have been because we were willing to talk with each other. We were wanting to be adult with each other and amicable with each other. And that made for great conversation. And you might be saying, that's all very well and good for you. You met this great guy, easy conversation. But for me, it's not like that at all. It's always been really, really difficult. And that's why I've come up with these five top tips for telling your story. Because your story is just as amazing as the guy who came from being a drug addict to a preacher. Your story, no matter where you're from, is just as amazing as that. And the first point is, take a risk. Take a risk. This is exactly what the woman from the well does. She takes a risk. You can imagine her walking back to the village. She's probably not very much liked there. She's slept with quite a few of the guys in the village, and the villages in those days are quite small, so maybe about a quarter of them, who knows. And she's walking back, and she must be thinking, what are they going to say? Are they going to really believe me? I'm a woman that lives in a man's world. How would they believe my testimony about this bloke I've just met? How would they believe me? You know, what questions are they going to ask? And she must be walking back going, I've just had this conversation. He said this, but when I say that, they're going to ask me this question. How am I going to answer that? And thinking, is it just easier for me to stay quiet about this amazing experience and keep it to myself? That would be the easiest way. You know, I could just enjoy it myself and no one else needs to know. But she takes the risk. She takes the risk, doesn't keep it to herself, and tells her story. No more, no less, just tells her brief story. And that intrigues people enough that they actually come out of the village to see this guy. They want to know, is this what she just said really, really true? Is it what she says really, really true? So take a risk, take that risk. Because if you don't take the risk, you'll never see what happens if you do. Number two, tailor your story. Again, the woman does this. We see she says, come and see this man who tells me everything I've ever done. She doesn't really mention about any of the other conversation that they had about worship and stuff like that. She doesn't really mention that. She says, come and see this guy. He's told me everything I've ever done. Come and see. And I bet if I asked you to tell me about your best summer holiday from whenever, you would be able to talk for 10, 15, 20 minutes maybe, straight from your mind. No worries, you probably make me laugh. You might make me smile a bit. You might make me start to imagine what it was really, really like. And if you tried really, really hard, you might even make me cry. But that's trying really, really hard. I bet you could really amaze me. But I also get that you would probably tell your story to me a little bit differently to how you tell your story to someone else. You might bring out details which I like, and so you'll emphasize those more. But if someone's saying to architecture, you might emphasize the buildings that were around a bit more. Or into beauty, you might emphasize that side of it a bit more. And so with your story, emphasize different parts depending on who you're talking to. And you don't have to tell the whole thing. You can tell these little snippets of your story. Just to either come and see if this is really what I'm saying it is. Tailor your story to who's listening. Point three, prepare your story. Sounds a bit daunting, doesn't it? Prepare your story. Take time. Imagine how different your conversation with guys at work would be if you actually took some time to remember and learn your story. How different would it be? I remember recently I went for a promotion at work, and to do that, I had to demonstrate that I was capable of doing that job. For my 5.5 years at Dyson, I had to show that I was ready for this promotion. And so I sat down at my computer, typed for about 10 minutes. 5.5 years, 10 minutes typing, one side of A4, done. Give it to my manager. He's like, okay, that's all right. I'm sure there'll be more, we'll be fine. 2 weeks later, you know, think about it again, review it again. A few weeks down the line, I've come back to it 4 or 5 times. I'm now at 10 pages worth. 10 pages worth, all expanded. All these things which I'd totally forgotten about, these little nuggets which I totally disregard as being useful, were really key hanging points. These small things which I thought were totally useless were coming out of the woodwork and being really big in my story at Dyson. And it's the same for you. Take some time to remember your story. We often go past in a flash, but take some time, sit down maybe, or do it on a walk. Remember your story. Take time, come back to it, come back to it, come back to it. Ask God to show you parts of your story. All these things will start coming out of the woodwork, which then you can tell to other people. And actually, it tells us to do this in the Bible. If we look again, it says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is in you. But do this with gentleness and respect." Always be prepared. That means you've thought about it. That means you've taken some time to assess it. Always be prepared to be able to give the best story possible, your best defense possible. Point four, think it through. Now that you've started to prepare your story and understand it and remember it, then actually it's a great chance to think about those questions that people are going to ask. It's always, oh, I don't want to say because I don't know how to answer these questions that they have. But actually, this is a great chance. From your story, you'll probably be able to come up with 10 questions that you know you're probably going to get asked off certain stories. Take some time to prepare a rough answer for that. Now, it's not that you're going to quote that verbatim from a book which you pull out of your pocket and scroll through to that question, but you've made that link in your mind so that when you answer it, you can answer it to the best of your ability. Take some time to think about the questions that you're going to get asked. Because then it leads us on to point five. It'll make it easier to be gentle and respectful. If you're in this conversation and you're not so flustered, you're not so worried about what they're going to say, you're not so, I don't know what to say, I don't know my story, then actually it's far easier to be respectful because you're coming from a place of having some research into your own life. You've prepared a little bit and it makes it so much more easy to be respectful and gentle with people. This is what it says at the end of that 1 Peter verse again. But do this with gentleness and respect. Always be gentle, always be respectful. And if a conversation ever starts to get heated, my recommendation would be to call it a day. Because it's better to be able to maintain that relationship and come back to it later than lose it totally and never have another chance to talk to them. Always keep it gentle and respectful. And this is exactly what the woman does. She pretty much does these points altogether. It goes on to say, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you've said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." This woman gave them the chance to go see Jesus. She gave them the invite. She introduced them. She gave them enough of a nugget to make them interested to go and see this guy. And for us, that is our job, telling a little bit of your story. You will probably be building on other people talking to the same person, building upon building of little conversations. It's not your job to make them a Christian. It's not your job to do zero to hero. That doesn't work. It's just your job to share a tiny bit of your story, no matter how unworthy a story you think it is, because I guarantee you it's not. I guarantee you that story will build in someone's life. And that brings us on to the big idea, which is infectious disciples take risks and tell their stories. Infectious disciples take risks and tell their stories. If you class yourself as a Christian here, this is part of the deal, to tell your story. Learn your little snippets of your story so you can tell people. You can just drop a little story in there, drop a little one in here, and if they ask you more, then you can answer some questions as well. But that's the whole point. We are to be infectious to the people around us, to help bring in that harvest. Now, last week, we actually got you guys to fill out on a little form, maybe not all of you did this, but three names of people. And this week, the challenge is to take chances, to actually talk to these people. Talk to the people that you wrote down. If you weren't here, I'm sure you could think of some other people. But to take that chance to talk to them and tell you a little bit of their story, of your story. A little chat. Nothing more, nothing more. Just a little snippet of your life with God. And that's it. And then also, on your chairs or at the front, in some of the bags, I'm sure they'll come around later. So we've got these just little bits of A6 maybe. And it's got those points on it. Take a risk, tell your story, prepare your story, think it through, be gentle and respectful. Take it home with you, pop it on the mirror, and every time you see it, maybe have a quick think about your story. Where has God done a little bit of work in your life? Where have you been a church and actually they've not been quite as weird as you first thought? Have a think when you see it every time. Have a little mention. And I'll pray for us now as we go into the next week as the band come up. So pray for God to remind us of what he's done in our lives and how he's worked with us. So yeah, Father God, thank you that you want to be with us. Thank you that you want to know us and you want to work intimately with us. And I thank you for that so much. And I pray that for everyone here, you will be reminding them of where you've worked in their lives. In the small things and in the big things, you'll be bringing stuff back to memory that they've totally forgotten. And you'll be showing them that their story is just as incredible as anyone else's. That they have an amazing story that they want to share. Amen.
Thanks, Alex.